I'm going to call the meeting to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
John Steinberg.
Here.
Mike Polakoff.
Here.
Dave Klimisch?
Here.
Mike Serpy?
Here.
Chris Keckler is excused.
Quorum being present, move on to item four, minutes of the meeting. This is for May 20th, 2019. Presented to board members in written form.
Move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any additions, corrections? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. Item five is a public hearing. And his first one is item A, and that is consider approval of the 2019-2020 liquor license renewal applications. Jane?
Mr. President and board members, before you tonight are the 2019-2020 retail liquor license renewals. At this time, I will read the type of license to be granted and issued along with the trade name. Our Class A beer is BPAM, PM, State Line Quick Shop, and Walgreens. The Class A beer and Class A liquor, Costco Wholesale, number 1198, Dream Liquors and Cigar, Target Store, T2251. Class A beer and Class A cider, that would be Quick Trip 975, Quick Trip 172, Quick Trip 230, and Pantry 41 Mobile. Class B beer, Chipotle Mexican Grill, number 2820. Class B beer and Class C wine, Mod Super Fast Pizza. Class B beer and Class B liquor, Big Oaks Golf Club, Chancery Pub and Restaurant, Cheddar Scratch Kitchen, number 2087, Chili's Grill and Bar, Fairfield Inn and Suites, Gordy's Prairie Pub, Halter's Wildlife, Honada Sushi and Hibachi, Iguana Juana Mexican Restaurant, Johnny Z's Poorhouse, Milwaukee Burger Company, the Olive Garden Restaurant, number 1845, Pino's Palace, Ruffalo's Pizza, Starlight Club, Village Inn Supper Club, and Wooden Nickel. As mentioned in the staff memo to the Village Board, inspection and background checks were completed. Also, checks were completed for outstanding taxes, fees, forfeitures, and other outstanding fees due to the village. Based on that, I recommend approval of the 2019-2020 license as presented to the board, contingent upon the following items being completed by June 30th of 2019. That would be payment of the license and publication fees, delinquent real estate or personal property taxes, delinquent invoices, delinquent utilities, any outstanding forfeitures, unpaid fire department inspections and or reinspection fees, completion of fire sprinkler or alarm tests, and compliance with any code violations. In the memo sent to the board and part of the packet, it didn't disclose different items affecting certain ones. So with that, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Okay, this being a public hearing, I'm going to open up public comment or question. We have a sign-up list. Did we have a sign-up sheet? No.
There were no sign-up sheets for the public hearing.
Anyone wishing to speak on this item? Anyone wishing to speak on this item? Anyone wishing to speak on this item? Hearing none, I'll close the public hearing. Order for board comment or question.
You said the items that are in our packet will be addressed before it's renewed?
That is correct. I will send out notification to all establishments. The letter will go out tomorrow, and it will have that disclosure on each and every one of those letters. And the front desk will not allow any license to be issued. They will come back to me, and then I will issue the license as long as those items have been satisfied.
Okay. I move approval subject to the improvements noted.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further comment or question? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. That concludes item five. We'll move on to item six, citizens' comments.
Mr. President, we did have one sign up this evening. It was Brian Massey.
Okay. Brian, please give us your name and address for the record.
Hi, my name is Brian Massey, 6930 39th Avenue, Kenosha. I was here last month and talked about the cul-de-sac that needs to be put in at the end of 82nd Street before I can build a single-family residence on the property. I'd ask that the village consider doing this as a public works project instead of having the homeowner myself pay for the cul-de-sac. And you guys were going to have a report done by Nathan, which he did. I thought it was going to be brought back up at this meeting, but I guess it's not.
Okay. Unfortunately, we can't comment on it. It's not an item on the agenda.
That's it.
All right. Thank you. Anyone else under citizens' comments?
Hi, Jim Niels, 11314 79th Street, Pleasant Prairie, the Chateau Plains subdivision. We built our home in 1986. Judy and I currently live here half of the year now. We got back 2 weeks ago. To the north of us, the Pinter family, Tim and Cassie Pinter, did a significant elevated pool project. Took 2 summers to complete, and it changed elevation. Been working with elevation, there's a significant drop-off. As we all know, we've had a significant amount of rain. Rain's not the issue. It's the issue of whether or not there is an ordinance that controls sump pump discharge from one's home onto a neighboring property. I've been working with, since I've been back the last 2 weeks, with Kurt Davidson. He's been extremely helpful. He's ended up in kind of the middle of a difficult situation. The Pinter property, when it was built by the Plagas back about 20 years ago. Cassie Pinter is a Plaga, so Tim and Cassie bought the home from the Plagas. Folker built the home. When the home was built 20-plus years ago, the building inspector at that time was Brad Stewart. He advised Plagas and Folker that the proper way to discharge the sump pump was to be in front of the house with the pipe facing east towards the lake to run it out to the road. They put the sump pump to the south, which is to Judy and I, and that sump pump is 15 feet from our lot line. When we left for Arizona the end of October, Tim Pinter had assured me that he would bury the sump pump and run it out to the road, as Kurt Davidson, the village engineer, one of the village engineers, had told him. When we got home, Mike Bain had contacted me, our next-door neighbor. The water ends up flowing. When it gets discharged from the Pinter property to the Niels property, it flows west to the Bain property. The Bain property is a major league pond. That pond is now so big it has flown even farther west onto the Gene Rubin property. So when Mike Bain contacted me in Arizona, he advised that it hadn't been buried, so when I got back, but what happened this weekend is the Pinters had actually taken the sump pump and actually had the tile to within 3 feet of our property line. This property was one of the last properties sold in the village of Pleasant Prairie. The village engineer, years back when we built, when I was looking at lots along with Brad Stewart, said do not buy this particular property. It is, hypothetically, it could be very well built on a spring. It will be one of the last lots built on. That was the case. It was one of the last lots built on. That sump pump was running yesterday every 15 seconds. I spent an hour and a half in my backyard with the approval of my neighbor, Mike Bain, to build a ditch to release the water to go down to him. I've got 30 and 40-foot high pine trees and evergreen trees. I lost 2 of them about 8 or 9 years ago because of the high volume of water. Randy Zerzanek did the work from Randy's landscape. He has since retired. At that time, he was emphatic about getting that sump pump water from being discharged to our property. So after I trenched yesterday with the approval of my neighbor, Mike Bain, we finally got the water relieved. but his backyard is a major league pond. So in talking to Kurt, he said at one time, I believe there was an ordinance that covers how much sump pump water you can discharge onto a property, that it may have been rescinded at one time. I think something has been working on. So I've only been back for 2 weeks. The proper way for the water to flow is exactly how Brad Stewart and the village engineer laid it out when we bought our home way back when. There was very few homes. He was emphatic about, they gave us a diagram as to how water should flow. It should flow where the Pinter property is. It should go east to the road. It should turn right past the Centuri property. When it passes the Centuri property, it would pass the Neal's property. After passing Neal's, it would pass Baines, goes down to the corner to Conwell's, and there is a basin. You can go to Conwell's, and you'll see it's very dry down there. You go into Baines' backyard, it is a pond. So I had reached pretty much the point of saturation. I want the village involved. I had a personal commitment from Tim Pinter last fall that he wants to maintain a good relationship with our neighbors. It has been very tension. We're good people. And when I come back, and not only has the sump pump tile been trenched and run out to the property line, it has been just put right on our lot line yesterday, and they pumped water for 16 hours nonstop. So I know you can't open this up for city for comments. I can come back here tomorrow morning and ask for Matt, who is the village engineer. I can come back and ask to see John to initiate this process, but I want to know exactly what the ordinance is and what course of action can be taken. I don't want any more water discharged onto my property. Thank you.
You have everybody's attention. I believe Gene is taking notes, correct? Okay.
Thank you.
We will be in touch. Anyone else under citizens' comments? Hearing none, I'll close citizens' comments. Move on to item 7, administrator's report.
So the one item that I just wanted to address with the village board was an update. Last week, Kathy and I had the opportunity to go and visit with in Madison with our legislators and actually present AB 235, a bill to address the We Energies power plant closure and the reduction in utility state aids. It was a positive experience. We'll keep you abreast as that bill continues to move forward. We're hoping that there will be a Senate companion bill shortly, but it was, for the most part, a good experience. So we're looking forward to seeing that progress continue. And that's all I have.
All right. Thank you, Nathan. Including item 7, move on to item 8, new business. First item being item 8, consider approval of resolution 19-19 to initiate a zoning text amendment to establish specific conditional use requirements related to the distribution of retail hostel merchandise manufactured or stored within a building located in the M5 Production Manufacturing District. Gene?
Mr. President, members of the board, resolution 19-19 is a resolution to initiate a zoning text amendment to the M5 district. The board can initiate changes to the zoning ordinance, including zoning district boundaries or changes in the text. And the purpose of this resolution is to introduce a text amendment to the M5. So that's intended to provide for manufacturing, assembly, office, research and development uses with limited warehouse and distribution uses with some modifications. And we'd like to introduce a modification or change to the ordinance. Whereas the retail or wholesale of merchandise manufactured or stored within the building, provided that the retail or wholesale is not classified as a high hazard group H, pursuant to Section 305 of the 2006 IBC, we are requesting and recommending that this be allowed with the approval of a conditional use permit if the Plan Commission approves it, and the Village does is what Village Board does as well. The village staff is proposing to establish certain and draft certain standards for the Plan Commission to grant a conditional use permit to allow certain uses in the M5. And so we are requesting this evening that the board approve this resolution to initiate the process by which the M5 district can be promptly evaluated through a CUP modification and a subset of conditions for the granting of a conditional use permit. The trustees at this meeting is not approving this resolution. And in fact, approving the ordinance change at this time, but only the resolution to initiate the process by which the ordinance can be evaluated. Public hearing can be held by the Plan Commission, and then the approval could be considered by the Village Board.
I move approval of resolution 1919 set up for public hearing, and I look forward to hearing what the recommendations are.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Brings us to item B, consider approval of the First Amendment of the Purchase and Sale of Real Estate Agreement between HSA Acquisitions, Inc. and the Village of Pleasant Prairie for the 68 acres in Bristol.
Thank you, Mr. President and trustees. Before you tonight is the Amendment 1 to the PSA, which we entered into with HSA Acquisitions, Inc. last October. The intent was the sale of property that the village owns that is located within the village of Bristol, approximately 68.4 acres. This amendment basically addresses three main issues. Primarily, the due diligence period was established, and there was one extension, 120-day extension, which expires June 15th. And so in order for us to continue to keep the land under contract, this is the primary reason for bringing this amendment before you. It does address three primary issues. One, it clarifies the purchase price to be based on what was originally intended, the 68.4 acres. In the original language, it was gross acreage or gross square feet, and that included the 33 feet of right-of-way within the county queue, right? County Q or County U? County U, sorry. Correct, County U. And then also adjusting the due diligence period to be October 15th. This extension is necessary for three primary reasons. We're still waiting on PSC approvals for the water main extension. We're also waiting for an agreement between the county, Bristol, and HSA for intersection improvements at County C and U. And then finally, the execution of a development agreement between HSA and Bristol. Finally, there's one modification. Originally, the closing period after the due diligence period was 30 days after, and now that has been extended to 60 days. I would recommend moving forward with this amendment. Tim Thompson, who represents HSA, is here in the audience. Should you have any questions, I'm sure he'd be more than willing to come forward. One item, too, in the packet, what was originally presented was missing an additional paragraph that in discussions between the two attorneys was added recently, in part because we wanted to demonstrate that there has been progress made in the sale of this property. If you've reviewed the amendment, it basically outlines all the same contingencies or conditions that was in the due diligence period originally. And so to alleviate any questions about whether or not we've made progress during this period, they added this paragraph, and I'll just read it into the record. Purchaser acknowledges that as of the date of this amendment, purchaser has accomplished the following. One, amended the land use plan with the village to add business park to office. Received a zoning classification change from the village. And when we refer to the village, I would note that it's the village of Bristol to add business park. Three, received approval of the certified survey map. Four, received site plan approval from the village for phase one of the purchaser's project. Five, received landscape plan approval from the village. Six, received open space approval from the village. Seven, received access approvals from the village. Eight, commenced and continues negotiations of a developer's agreement with the village. Nine, commenced discussions with the County of Kenosha regarding intersection improvements. 10, established tax incremental tax district. 11 submitted a traffic impact analysis for the purchaser's project. Nothing contained in this paragraph 5 shall limit, restrict, or otherwise affect the purchaser's right under contract as amended by this amendment, including without limitation under Section 3.2 or 3.3 of the contract as amended by this amendment.
I move to approve the PSA as presented and with the additional language read into the record.
I'll second it with a question. The 33 feet that we have that the county is going to take, is that's going to go all the way south to 104th, I would assume, eventually.
Eventually, correct. And that will be conditioned on other development taking place. So Bristol currently has discussions with a developer, Janko, and there is some discussion about acquisition on the west side or east side of County U. And in fact, the county has requested more. The 33 feet are currently existing right of way. It just so happens that it wasn't right of way that was specifically outlined, and so when we talk about gross, all of a sudden, you know, that's where that land changed. Really, if you took the gross currently, it'd be closer to 70-plus acres versus 68.4. The county is still requiring additional right-of-way feet besides that 33 feet. They're requiring additional 25 feet.
Any improvements at U and C? Is that a roundabout future?
Not right now. At this time, they're talking about an intersection with traffic lights. In fact, can we invite Tim? He drove all the way up here. I'd hate for him not to at least say hello. And, Tim, if you want to add anything to what I presented, that would be wonderful. Come to the microphone, Tim, and just introduce yourself and read your address into the record.
My name is Tim Thompson with HSA Commercial. Nathan's been wonderful to work with, and we thank you. We're looking forward to the project. We have a lot of time, energy, and money into it so far in our pursuit costs. It's unfortunate we need to ask for the extension, but it's just the way the processes work getting through Bristol. And hopefully you'll accept it and agree to it, and we can move on and close in, you know, late October, or close, I guess, would be beginning of December, mid-December.
I would add Bristol's not completely PSC has also been somewhat
right,
partly because originally the intent was to do wholesale water sales. As you're aware, when we spoke with PSC, they would prefer us to review retail, and so that kind of changed the calculations of timing with the PSC.
Correct. So if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Well, I think that requirement by PSC that's a significant change. I mean, I don't know that it, you know, it really, you know, the village is making a significant investment to get everything ready there, and you know, the village of Bristol is able to rely on those investments, and PSC, by the PSC saying, well, Pleasant Prairie, you do the retail. Let the developers pay for the improvements, and Bristol sits back and lets the development happen. So, I think it's either shows a lack of misunderstanding by the PSC or a small level of arrogance that they can dictate, you know, what happens between municipalities and you know, force a settlement that probably is not the best, but on the other hand, you know, we want a development to occur, and that's good for everybody. So that's where we're at. So I think that, you know, Nathan was leave it to me to be the part at the party, but he described it in a better way. But that was a significant derailment, but it really held the timing back to make that happen.
In the end, even though it could be questionable of who is responsible for what, I still think that doing retail versus wholesale is probably a cleaner system than the wholesale would have been. Definitely will require less infrastructure, which will be a benefit to the end user. It doesn't necessarily, ideally, if in a perfect world, and this is even any time boundaries come into play, it becomes somewhat difficult of whose responsibility is it to provide utility and infrastructure. And that's been a discussion in this area for a while, so I don't need to belabor that topic.
Okay. Anything else? Any questions? If not, thank you.
Thank you.
Did we vote?
Yep. No, we had a vote.
No, we didn't. We're still in Q&A.
No. Okay. I motioned.
You got the car packed, don't you?
We got a motion and a second already. We're
we have a motion and a second?
Yeah.
And the car is packed.
it's the other mic tonight that's leaving. Or both of them are leaving. Who knows?
Just keeping
you further discussion?
No.
We have a motion and a second. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. So carries. Brings us to item C, and that is approval of Ordinance 1909 to amend Chapter 165 of the Municipal Code as it relates to traffic officers. Chief?
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board. This item comes up as we tried to make some changes in our parking enforcement officer. So we had that parking enforcement officer. We kind of changed that position into a community service officer, and with that, we kind of opened it up for discussion amongst the staff at the PD on what other duties and responsibilities would go good with this position. One of the ideas we came up with was to have this individual allowed to do traffic control for us, not traffic enforcement, traffic control, which would be helping us out at accident scene, helping us out with special events. We started to look at this, and by state law, we can do that, and I can assign as necessary individuals to assist us with traffic control as long as there's an ordinance, municipal ordinance, which covers that. So that's the change. That's the reason behind the change as we move forward with the CSO position. So that's what's in front of you tonight.
Chief, I agree with this. And the only thing I question, and I'm not questioning you on this, is the I don't know that we're authorized to have the CSO car have red lights or blue lights on it because that would identify him as a sworn officer.
Correct. It would not be able to have red and blue lights.
Right. But I wish they would pass some type of law statewide allowing him to have red lights, no different than a tow truck has,
right,
to show some type of an emergency that people are coming upon, instead of just the amber lights and
Yeah, the amber lights, the odd thing about this, the state rule and the municipal ordinance is I could assign, with the chief's permission, I could assign firefighters to direct traffic too with that. I think we've got enough emergency lighting on that vehicle to make it noticeable. I'm clearly not going to put our community service officer in a position that would bring some harm to that individual or some liability to the village. So
I had other concerns with the CSOs as well. Do they have any means of self-protection, not a firearm?
Yes, we've authorized the CSO to carry OC spray.
Good.
So we've put that individual through training on that.
Good.
So they're allowed to do that at this point.
Okay. Good.
And if you look at other CSO positions throughout the state, some are allowed to carry a baton. Some are allowed to carry a chemical like OC spray. Mm-hmm. We chose to go with the OC spray at this point. The individual we've got in this position is a former Marine, and she comes trained from the Marine Corps on being able to carry those duties out. So yeah. She was an MP in the service.
A lot of people don't realize that the CSO may end up taking a vehicle from somebody that probably their only means of transportation, their only ownership that they have, and they're going to take that vehicle, and that could become a dangerous situation.
Right.
And that's why
parking violations too can become contentious.
Yeah. Exactly.
So we want to make sure that not only does that individual in that position have the communication needs to get in contact with our officers immediately, but to have at least an initial or rudimentary amount of
good
tools at our disposal.
Yeah. I'd move approval of the ordinance 1909.
Second.
Motion and a second. Mike?
I think this is a good idea. How many hours do we have budgeted for the?
28.
28? Do you see that increasing or needing?
At some point, it's possible. Because of this particular CSO's talents, I think we could grow that position, you know, and it really becomes dependent on who you've got in the spot.
Yeah.
You know, she comes with a unique set of skills and talents. So far, she's working out fantastic, so I have no issues with adding some additional duties and responsibilities onto it other than parking enforcement. I think it's a great benefit for the village as well.
Yeah, and I think that really helps us get some things done without having a uniformed officer.
Correct.
You know, tied up with that work.
Yeah. The position's only going to grow. So,
okay. Chief, how does that differ from an auxiliary officer? What can he do?
An auxiliary officer would actually have some police powers. This position does not. If I'm thinking of a part-time officer or an auxiliary officer, they may actually have some police powers. It depends how you set it up. There is no set definition
right.
of an auxiliary officer. Yeah. You'd have to set that up on your own. I could rename this position auxiliary officer. I don't want the confusion in there between what this role is. And this role is community service officer, which I think the duties and responsibilities, we've given that position, we've worked into it, and we've got in our mind to move forward. I think it fits that role. Parking enforcement was, I think the CSO position is definitely more of a better definition. And a clear
even with the auxiliary, it's also the individual.
Correct.
Because they're
very much so.
Not all the same.
Right.
So, all right. Any further questions for the chief?
Nathan? No, just a comment, one to Mike. Just, you know, we did recently hire a code enforcement officer, and the intent was also to provide some alleviation to the CSO. And so just to be cognizant of that change that took place this year.
Anything else for Chief? If not, thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have a motion, a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Brings us to item D, and item D is to consider approval of Resolution 1918, certifying the creation, review, and adoption of the compliance maintenance reports for the wastewater facilities.
Mr. President, members of the board, this evening I have before you the compliant maintenance annual report known in the industry as CMAR. It's the state code for publicly and privately owned domestic wastewater treatment works. The CMAR is a self-evaluation tool that promotes the owner's awareness and responsibility for wastewater collection, treatment needs, measures the performance of wastewater treatment works during a calendar year, and assesses its level of compliance with permit requirements. Pleasant Prairie has been evaluated under the state's annual compliance maintenance evaluation and financial management, scored a 4 with a GPA of 4. Wastewater facilities for the village have received a raw score of 12 with a GPA of 4, and the collection system section has received a grade A as set forth by the Department of Natural Resources lettering. It is recommended that the village board of the Village of Pleasant Prairie review and accept as presented the annual compliance maintenance report, and we will forward that to the Department of Natural Resources for their review and acceptance. And so with that, I can answer any questions you may have.
I move we approve the 2018 compliance maintenance annual report as presented and directed to be filed with the state.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any questions, comments?
If you really want to comment, I actually at some point I just want to commend our wastewater treatment. My father recently had an experience. He's currently in Russia and had a story to tell about his experience. And so I just want to pat ourselves on the back and say, you know, we never realize the blessings we have until they're not there. So anyway.
I think year after year we've done pretty good with it. So
I guess we do. We always score very strong financially. Kathy Gessel, our finance director, does a great job managing the utility and watching the rates. And then from a compliance of an operation and maintenance standpoint, we do very well. So thank you very much.
Okay. With that, did we have a motion and a second?
Yes.
Any further discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item E, consider the approval of towing license renewal applications.
Mr. President and board members, before you tonight are the annual towing service license. Applications were submitted for the following entities: Firehouse Performance LLC, J&M Towing, Jantz Auto Sales Inc., Jantz Yard 4 Automotive Inc., Jensen Towing, Atlas, there we go, had a hard time. Service Center DBA McDivitt's Towing, and Pro Towing. All applications as submitted comply with Section 332 of the Municipal Code, and the license fees have been paid. There were no outstanding delinquencies or forfeitures, and background checks have been completed. I recommend approval of the 7 applicants and their businesses for the issuance of towing service licenses for the period of July 1, 2019 through June 30, 2020, subject to the provisions of Section 332 of the Municipal Code.
Move approval of the towing renewals.
Second.
Motion and a second. Chief, quick question. Do we do all these on a rotation? Okay.
Were you referring to the background checks, or were you referring to when they're called for service?
When they're called. Okay. And storage is done by who? All of them, or? Is storage part of the
application? Storage is done by Jensen.
Jensen.
So our police storage, if we have an evidence hold, it's done by Jensen.
All right.
So everybody takes their cars to Jensen?
Pardon me?
Everybody takes all their cars to Jensen storage?
When we have an evidence hold on it, yes.
Oh. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Chief. Do we have a motion?
Yeah.
And a second. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries. Item 9, Village Board comments.
I've got a comment. Over the weekend, there was at least 2 neighborhood garage sales, and so I talked with lots of different residents and have compliments passed on to Public Works in both neighborhoods, or at least in the one neighborhood. Narrow streets, no parking signs were set up several days before the garage sale. Garbage was supposed to be picked up on Saturday, and like Public Works does every year, garbage was picked up the preceding day to make room for a busy Saturday garage sale. So residents in several neighborhoods pass along compliments to what you guys do consistently every year. It's booked out 12 months ahead. You're already working on the 2020 schedule for getting that neighborhood garage sale worked out.
Thank you.
Did you get any bargains, Dave?
Bought a clock for $1.
All right.
With a new battery.
Anything else on the Village Board comments? If not,
second.
Motion and a second for adjournment. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries.